Welcome to the Know Your Ancestors podcast. I am so excited for our episode today. When I first had the idea of doing this podcast, I was just going to do it myself and research people's families and then share what I found with them. But I quickly learned that it was going to be way too much work. So I reached out to a Facebook group of genealogists and presented this idea and asked for volunteers. And I was overwhelmed by the response, and there were quite a few genetic genealogists who volunteered to help with the podcast. And so with their expertise, and we are launching, today is National DNA Day, I thought that it would be great to have some genetic genealogy cases that we could share with you. And we have one to share with you today, and I am so grateful for Chris and her daughter Heather and their willingness to share their story and to for us to help them uncover a bit of Chris's biological family tree. So with that, we have Chris here with her daughter Heather. And Chris, if you could just maybe share a bit about your family, anything you want to share about you, just to introduce you and your daughter Heather.
Well, I'm glad to have my daughter, Heather, because where my memory fails me, she will fill in for sure. I was born in 1944, and my parents, my adopted parents, were living in Idaho at that time. They had one child, a girl, and were not able to have any more children. But due to their financial circumstances at the time and my mother's age, she was quite a bit older than my father, they had not been successful in adopting. My sister was Marianne was in the hospital having her appendix out when a friend of my parents, Dr. Reese, came to their room surprisingly and said, "We've got a very noisy little baby down in the nursery. We would really appreciate it if you take her home with you."
Oh, wow.
My parents didn't know that they were going to get me. And of course, my sister was 8.5 years older, and she was thrilled to have a little sister. And I had a great, great life. I couldn't have asked for better parents, better raising, kindness, opportunities in my life. But I always felt like I'd really like to know where I came from. Mm-hmm. I made up stories about war romances, et cetera, and bragged to the neighbors that I'd been adopted and their parents had to just take whatever they got. And so I was comfortable with being adopted, but I also wanted to know more about my birth family. Mm-hmm. I was hesitant to do anything for many years because I didn't want to hurt my mother's feelings. I didn't want her to feel that she was not truly my mother in my heart and mm-hmm. in my life. So then we moved overseas, but it was when we came back from being overseas and my mother had passed away, I truly tried to find some sort of a link to my birth parents. I tried contacting the state of Idaho, Department of Records, trying to get a copy of my original birth certificate because it had been changed to show my adoptive parents, which was what they did at the time. And they said, yes, the rules have loosened up a lot. All you need to do is have your mother sign that we can release this. And I thought, well, that's the reason I'm coming to you. I don't know who my real mother is. And besides, I'm in my 70s, and right. she's probably not even alive at this time. So that mm-hmm. was a dead end. Mm-hmm. So on my birthday in 2016, my husband gave me a DNA test. And that's where it all started. Without that test, I would never have known where to go from there.
Oh, wow.
My neighbor had been learning how to do DNA research and offered to help me take the clues that had come from my DNA test and kind of group them together and see what he could come up with. He discovered which were my grandparents on both sides, but we couldn't get any farther than that. Mm. And in fact, the original trees that he set up as probable trees, where I thought my father was one on one side and my mother on the other, were actually reversed in true life. So we came to a standstill for a long period of time. Then nice. Heather came into the picture.
Oh, and then so I saw your post on Instagram and thought, oh, finally, maybe I knew my mom wouldn't want to spend to hire a DNA geneticist, but anyway, so I thought, oh, this is the perfect, maybe we can finally solve this before all the important people are no longer alive to help figure this out. So that's when I connected both of you together. So.
Well, awesome. And I'm so glad you did reach out. So it sounds like you had like some potential families, some cousin matches that at least got you the right families of who biologically your family was, right?
That's correct. We had the grandparents, but we couldn't get any farther, closer to the answers that we needed.
Right. Yeah. So I asked Dawn Kosmakos, a genetic genealogist from Sunrise DNA. She is the genetic genealogist that volunteered to help with this case. And quite quickly, she was able to find the possible biological mother and father based on your DNA matches and ancestry and the information that you guys had already had there as well. So I'm just going to share she created some diagrams that we can share here. If you are watching on YouTube, you'll be able to see these. So this is Chris's likely, very likely, biological father's information here. And you can see these little centimorgans are the matches that you had in Ancestry that Don has sorted and figured out where they all kind of fit. Now, a lot of this is hypothetical, but it is based on, you know, the patterns of how the centimorgans match up and the relationships, the amounts that are in each generation. Chris is here and her biological father was Clarence here. And what we are waiting on is having this possible half-sister be tested. And I'm not sure where we are at in that process, but...
Well, maybe I could interrupt there.
Yes, please.
Dawn helped me find a phone number and an address where she thought this person was. Mm-hmm. And I was able to call her and talk to her.
Oh, wow.
And in talking to her, I got a lot of important information. Oh, but it looks like that we are half sisters.
Oh, cool.
But she has accepted to take a DNA test. And so she's waiting for results.
Her son has had her tested.
Yes.
And we're waiting for the results because we went through regular channels and it takes longer to get the results back.
Yeah. So eventually we'll know that for sure, but we're pretty sure that is your half sister.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. So looking at all of those cousin matches and everything, Dawn was able to make this diagram here. And then she also found the obituary of Clarence, which listed his grandson, this JS here. So we were pretty sure how those two fit together because this JS was your closest match. So that is how that kind of was sorted through. And then your mother's line. So looking through, you had a bunch of matches there, not too many that were super close, but through sorting that in that diagram, we were able to sort through those matches. So the most likely candidate was this Emma May. And an analysis of DNA matches confirmed an intersection at the couple Carl and his wife Ella right here. And we found that they had two sons and two daughters, but the daughter was the other daughter was 5 years old when you were born. So that was not possible. So this Emma May was found to be your possible biological mother. And we have since confirmed that by testing. I'm like, which one of these did we test?
Her sister.
Her sister, Carly.
Emma's sister. Right. Yeah. So that younger sister is the one that you tested, right?
And I don't see her on your...
Yeah, she's not on this diagram.
The sister to my supposed mother at that time that I spoke with and her daughter-in-law, who Heather had established a relationship with, was allowed me to have testing done. And it was done at a special DNA testing lab where they could test specifically for a relationship of aunt and niece in our case. Her sister was still alive because she was born, I think, 15 or 16 years later than her other sister, my mother.
Right.
So she was still alive, and they tested her, and it came back as our relationship aunt to niece mm-hmm. with 99.8% positive.
Oh, wow.
So
very cool.
Once we established that, then we knew we were on the right track.
Right. Right. Awesome. So were you able to meet with her, to talk to her?
Heather set up that relationship. You want to talk more about that?
Well, so because we started all this, it whet my appetite again to get back in and do some research. So I realized this is the only person who could potentially be alive on my mother's mm-hmm. mother's side of the family. And so I just started looking for her name, her maiden name, because I didn't know what her married name was. And it gave me a cemetery. It just pulled up the city in Texas and the cemetery, and it showed her husband's full name and then her name, and that she was still alive. And so I looked in that city in Texas under the name with her married name. And then it gave me a list of some people connected to her. And one of them I found on Facebook, and that was her daughter-in-law. So my mom's aunt's daughter-in-law, mm-hmm. Sherry, and she responded to me instantly on Facebook. I thought, oh, she may never answer, because not everyone does the messaging.
Right.
She was super sweet and answered questions, started sending pictures, and then I gave her my mom's number, and she then went over to her mother-in-law's house and had this connection and called my mom, and they started talking together. And so I thought it was just really sweet that it all came together really super fast, actually. So
we exchanged some pictures, and we could definitely see a resemblance in some of her sister's pictures to me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In May's pictures. So again, that was another way of confirmation of our
right.
supposed links to each other.
Right. So what was that like? Like, I'm sure this whole process is kind of, you have mixed feelings about it. Like, it's exciting and interesting, maybe a little, there might be some apprehension or anything about that. How did this whole process feel as you were uncovering these clues and then even talking to your aunt?
You know, the interesting thing was the willingness that my supposed mother's family and my supposed father's family took in responding positively to me. Mm-hmm. They didn't know about me. My mm-hmm. mother's sister had heard from my mother at one time that she'd had a baby and given it away for adoption, mm-hmm. a little girl. But nobody ever talked about it, because nothing was ever confirmed that that's what happened. So I was kind of a new kid on the block. And I was surprised how open and warm and accepting these people were. I think part of it is because of the time distance from the time right. I was born until now. Mm-hmm. I don't think it was an area where people were sensitive about hurting other people's feelings. They just wanted to know about people they may be related to. And right. people in this day and age, when people don't like to pick up the phone because they don't know who's going to try and get money out of them or what reasons people are calling, they, for some reason, and I think this is a blessing, they mm-hmm. picked up their phones and talked to me as a stranger and accepted me as a relative.
Wow. Yeah. No, I think, because there are some people that don't have as good of an outcome as you have had. So I think that is a blessing, that maybe there are some people behind the scenes, some people beyond the grave that maybe are helping this thing transpire to help you to have a better understanding of your biological family tree. Because I think, at least I know that they care about you. So I think that's pretty cool. Was there anything else you wanted to share about kind of that part of this process of learning more about your biological family?
It wasn't that I needed linkage to a family because I wasn't close to my own. Because I was, mm-hmm. I'm very close to my own. But I just felt for some reason I needed to know and establish connections. Heather had another reason that she wanted us to find out who my mm-hmm. relatives were.
Oh,
yeah.
So I have two boys who were born with a bleeding disorder that is typically passed on from mother to son or mm-hmm. father to daughter. to then son. And so I had always, ever since I had my first son born with hemophilia, I just thought for sure it had to be through my mom's side of the family. So I was anxious to know if that was mm-hmm. the connection, but it doesn't look like that is. But that was my drive and my curiosity that kind of helped push my mom to also be interested in finding that for my sake. So.
Right. Right. But there hasn't been any connection that you know of?
No, not so far. Yeah. And that's not something that you can hide. That's not a disorder that is easily hidden in history of time. So.
Right. We'll be right back after hearing about one of our sponsors. Are you tired of searching through endless folders and devices for your precious memories? Do you wish you could easily organize and access all of your photos and videos in one place? Look no further than Mylio. Mylio is the ultimate photo management software that allows you to seamlessly organize, edit, and share your photos across all your devices. With Mylio, you can effortlessly sync your pictures across your smartphone, tablet, computer, and even your external hard drives. What sets Mylio apart is its unique combination of powerful organization tools and intuitive user interface. Its facial recognition technology automatically tags and sorts your photos, making it easier than ever to find the pictures you're looking for. And with powerful editing tools built right in, you can touch up your photos or create stunning collages with just a few clicks. But that's not all. Mylio also allows you to easily share your photos with friends and family, whether it's through social media, email, or even printing them out. And with built-in cloud backup, you can rest assured that your memories are always safe and secure. Mylio is giving Know Your Ancestors listeners a 25% discount off your first year of Mylio. So go to mylio.com/ancestors to take advantage of that. That's mylio.com/ancestors to get 25% off your first year. Try Mylio today and experience the joy of hassle-free photo management and see how easy it can be to organize and enjoy your photos like never before. And now we're back. Well, Dawn, on top of the genetic research that she did, she also did some research of your family line. Now, because you already knew both grandparents biologically, maybe you've already done some of this, but I just wanted to share some of what we were able to find about your biological family tree as we go on here. So I don't know if you've seen this picture, but this is a picture of your maternal great-grandparents' family. And your grandmother, Ella, is this one in the middle right here. This is so your mother, your biological mother's mother and parents and family there. So their family came to Ottertail County, Minnesota from Norway, from Buskerud County in Norway. In the father came in 1881 and the wife came in about 1883, probably with the rest of the children. I'm guessing the father came to kind of scout it out and maybe get some land and make sure it was going to work before the whole family came over. And they had 8 children, with one of them passing sometime before 1900. And your biological grandmother was likely the 4th child born to this couple. They were farmers that came along with thousands of other Norwegians at the time to settle farmland in Minnesota during the late 1800s. So in your DNA, you probably are aware that 43% Norwegian is in your DNA, and that's where this comes from. So I have Norwegian in my family too, so I think it's kind of cool. I wasn't aware that of the large amount of Norwegians that came to Minnesota in the 1800s, but apparently they did. And then just for our listeners and for maybe you too, in Norway, they use patronymics for naming patterns. So for instance, the daughter will have their father's first name plus daughter as their last name. So your biological great-grandmother, Helen Torger's daughter was her name, which means her father, his first name was Torger. So then his name was Torger Torgerson. So his father's name was Torger as well. Okay, so that is kind of a pattern that I think in a lot of Scandinavian countries, they did that as well. And it was interesting, your biological great-grandfather, his last name was Dahler, D-A-H-L-E-R, which is not a patronymic pattern, but when they transferred from the patronymic style, some people, instead of just keeping whatever their patronymic name was, they would get their surname from land or property characteristics of their land or anything. And dollar is the plural form of dal or valley. So maybe they live near a valley. Maybe they decided to have their surname be something like that. Yeah. And then here is your biological grandfather, his family living in the census here. So you see Charles B. is your biological great-grandfather, and they lived in Iowa. So here's Charles and his wife Emma, and their son Carl was your biological grandfather. He was born in 1892 in Runnels, Iowa, and he was the oldest of nine children born to Charles and Emma, and they were farmers in Polk County, Iowa. Now, Carl, he was a private in the Company A of the infantry in the North Dakota National Guard during World War I. So he served in World War I. He was the oldest in his family. And then I'm not exactly sure how Carl and your biological grandmother met, because they lived about almost 300 miles apart from each other. So that is still a mystery. Yeah. So that is a little bit about your biological mother's family. So her mother, her whole line came from Norway. Your biological mother's father's line, they all date back to like the early 1700s in the United States. So they are all from the United States and probably from England before then, when at the starting times of the United States. So there's a bit about your biological family tree. I'm not sure how much of that you knew already, if you knew your biological grandparents, but there are a few public trees on Ancestry that we're able to get those pictures and things from.
That's great. Yeah.
Well, Chris, is there anything else that you want to share with us? I know that it was kind of a whirlwind to get all this information and to try to get you on the podcast to be able to be there on launch day for National DNA Day, but I'm wondering what feelings you have as you have learned more about your biological parents and your family tree.
Well, without DNA and help from people like you and like my neighbor, it would still be a big question mark to me. So mm-hmm. My husband said to me, he said, the research is like a three-legged stool. You have the DNA, then you have your involvement with the internet, and then you have your personal contacts. And they've just wonderfully fallen into line mm-hmm. once we started to sort out the DNA more critically than I could have on my own. Mm-hmm. And I'm grateful for this knowledge.
Yeah, I think it's probably a question that everyone that's adopted or isn't aware of who their biological parents are.
My half sister on my father's side, as mm-hmm. I assume at this point until I get the DNA back, but it looks like that's what it is. She lives in Idaho, and I plan mm-hmm. to go visit and meet my half sister, which will be cool. A blessing to me. If I had waited many more years, some of the contacts that I've had would not be there, would not be mm-hmm. available to help me through some of the questions I've had. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to do research on a line where you need to know information from other people, don't wait too long. Mm-hmm. If you don't get information from people right away because they're still sensitive about the information, try again. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because when you first took your DNA test in 2016, you said that there were a few matches, but not really anyone that made it very clear, right?
Well, so, one of the biggest things that threw us off was initials of a VA mm-hmm. having her DNA match mine, and yet the VA that we could see was gone in 1968, but we didn't know any other VA until we started talking and found out there was someone that was using her second husband's last name. And her first name started with the V, and she was the VA, and she was the one that had it tested. So So don't always assume that you know exactly where that DNA is linked and how.
Right. And new people are testing every day too. So if you don't have any good matches now, wait a bit and you never know. So
that's right. Well, I'm very grateful to you and to Dawn for the work and the interest you put into helping us solve these questions in our minds and helping us link to others in our family tree. It's interesting to have that many sets of parents, two sets of parents, but I'm grateful for each one of them and what they contributed to my life.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Chris. And thank you, Heather, for coming on too and sharing a bit of your perspective. Was there anything else you two wanted to share?
No, I don't. I'm just grateful for my mom. So I appreciate this opportunity for her to have this closure. And for all of us, I just feel more connected, right, to where we came from and our heritage. I'm without discounting our love for my mom's adopted family. So thank you for all your help and for this opportunity.
Yeah, thank you. I'd like to thank Dawn, the genetic genealogist who worked on this case. She did a fantastic job, was very quick, very thorough. If you have any unknown parentage in your family tree or unknown DNA matches, she can help you with that. You can find her and contact her at sunrisedna.com, and she would love to help you with any of your genetic genealogy needs. Now here's a tip from Dawn that I'm just going to read to you. Okay, Dawn said, "My tip would be to pay attention to location. While DNA is ultimately what should lead us to the answer, location is very helpful in narrowing things down and giving us more confidence in the hypothesis. In this case, Chris's potential birth father, Clarence, was born in Williston, North Dakota, and her birth mother, Emma May, was born in Livingston, Montana. These locations are 430 miles from each other. I admit I was discouraged when DNA led me to two people living so far away. However, by paying attention to both of their timelines and locations, I found that Emma was married to another man in March 1944 in Dillon, Montana, the same city that Clarence got married in 1946. I couldn't place them at the same exact time, but being within a couple of years, I could at least imagine that they were there the same time and crossed paths. Dillon, Montana was only 142 miles from Idaho Falls, where Emma gave birth to Chris." Thanks so much for listening to the podcast today. Be sure to subscribe and stay tuned for new episodes every Tuesday. And if you have a minute, can you please go leave a rating and review on iTunes? This is a great way to get more people listening to the podcast and to help us grow. So thanks so much for listening today, and we'll see you next time.